But Gerrard! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of FPL 360, where life is better when I'm not dying.
Yeah, this week, more transfer news. I guess we'll start by following up on the Chelsea situation, which we spent so much time talking about last week. We'll get it out of the way.
Yes, this team.
So, nothing is official. However, it appears their search for a striker has been concluded, with Gonzalo Higuain reportedly ready to join on loan for the rest of the season. The news, or at least that I came across, essentially Sarri is set on Higuain. However, the club's board is not sold. To complicate things, he's on loan at AC Milan from Juventus. I don't really know how the back channels of this deal would go, but also Alvaro Morata, his time is done, heading to Atletico Madrid. Since it seems like there's no possibility of Callum Wilson moving, what is Higuain going to bring to Chelsea, and do we think this will actually make a significant impact for the rest of the season?
So what Higuain brings to Chelsea is, I guess, a knowledge of Sarri's system, and Sarri loves him. But the most important thing is it moves Eden Hazard back to his natural position, which in the long run is a net positive for Chelsea.
Yeah, I do think it's going to have a decent impact. He is 31, though. I mean, I don't think he's going to come in and absolutely light up the league. However, it's going to be easy for him to look like a great signing, considering he's going to be going up against what Murata's done since he's arrived at Stamford Bridge.
I'd like to assume that his expectations are a little higher than what Murata's done.
Yeah, but I mean, no matter what happens, it's when he with him coming in, however he plays, he's going to still be better than Morata. So I guess what I'm saying is if he comes in...
But will he be better than Giroud?
It's hard to judge just because Giroud hasn't been given enough time in the first team, at least with starting this season. I mean, personally, I think they should just sell Morata and then roll with Giroud and then figure out the striker in the summer.
Yeah, but you're Chelsea. You got to spend money, right?
Yeah, I think it's a silly investment. For fantasy, I'm assuming he'd probably be a number one waiver claim in draft.
He is the most reluctant I'd ever be on using a number one waiver claim, but because he plays for Chelsea and there's still the chance that he could just score goals for fun, he's a number one waiver claim.
What do you think about him for OFPL?
Not touching him.
Yeah, I think he would be priced around wherever Morata was at.
No, I'd assume he comes in higher at like 10.5.
10.5, yeah, that would definitely be too expensive for me. The signing this week that has been confirmed, Fulham have made their first edition of the winter window with a move for Besiktas winger and former Liverpool winger Ryan Babel on a permanent deal through the end of the season. I don't like this move. I don't think it makes any sense. Are you in opposition of that, or would you agree with that this seems like a desperation move?
So, depends on the role. If Babel is being signed for his role at Besiktas, where he actually scored 6 goals and assisted on one more in like 300 and something odd minutes, coming off the bench is a lightning in a bottle, he's probably better at that role than Kamara. But if he's being expected to start games at his age, why are you really signing him, especially when, at least as of right now, Fulham does not have the personnel to play a 4-4-2?
I'm just very confused about this move because strengthening the attack. I mean, granted, Mitrovic has not been firing like he was over this season. They didn't really have a deficiency in attack, especially on the wings. I just think that they added to an area, the one area of their team that they didn't need to improve.
Yeah, but sometimes even improving your strength still helps, especially since Charlotte has been hitting the skids lately. The big thing is, if this is like Fulham's single signature move, then it's shit. If it's a combination of a couple of moves that allows Fulham to play a freer system and allows them to stay up, more importantly, allows them to stay up, then at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
If you look at their wingers' numbers, Sessegnon has 2 goals and 5 assists. Luciano Vietto has 4 assists. Granted, he's been...
Vietto doesn't exist under...
Doesn't really Ranieri. Exist under, yeah. Mitrovic, obviously, 8 goals. Andre Schürrle, 6. Kamara has 3. I just think that it would have made more sense for them to buy someone for their problem, which is defense.
I mean, I like to assume that they're working on that, and that's why I'm trying to view this move in a vacuum versus as viewing it in the great picture right now.
So Babel, I'm guessing in most competitive leagues, he's going to be picked up, or he already has been picked up. Where do you see him in fantasy, specifically in draft? Like, do you think he's going to be a fourth midfielder?
I can't see, as of right now, anything more than a fifth midfielder because I see his role being off the bench. If he proves to be a starter, then sure, he could be a midfielder four.
Yeah, I wouldn't really touch him until the situation becomes clear for how he's going to be used. But we did get a question on Twitter pertaining to this move, which is, what are your thoughts on the value of Sessegnon for the rest of the season?
Oh, I love Sessegnon. I don't think this move in any way has any implications on Sessegnon, especially since he's a right-sided winger, not a left-sided.
So you don't think Babel's going to end up pipping or knocking Schürrle from the starting 11?
Well, you said Sessegnon.
I know. Well, I didn't realize Babel plays on the right. I thought he played on the left.
I mean, he definitely has a shot at beating Schürrle out, especially due to Schürrle's history and the fact that he hasn't played this many minutes in a very long time.
I just noticed he hasn't played a full 90 since November.
Yeah, so like it makes sense to bring in someone to actually rotate with him. I just don't know if this is the right move or not.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a competitive league and you're have a spot to burn, I mean, he's at 4% owned right now. I wouldn't disagree with anyone who's picking him up. You know, if you hit gold there, he's someone you could definitely turn over in a trade.
Yeah, I've got no issues with lottery tickets.
So, you know, time will tell what the deal is with Babel. A guy I would be more interested in, this is a pending arrival, Cardiff City appear to have finally addressed their need for an actual natural forward. The reports is that Emiliano Sala, the striker from Nats in France, should be joining Neil Warnock's club next week. I guess the move supposedly was held up due to the club wanting him to play one more game this weekend, which is kind of weird. But
well, actually,
he seems like
see
a promising
one game
forward.
Is against and where they are in the table.
I mean, in Sala, the transfer fee is reportedly in the region of 18 million. He scored 12 goals in 19 Ligue 1 appearances this season.
Really? They want to keep him for a game against Angers? That's.
I mean, how do you see where they are in the table?
They're sitting 13th. But basically, they're in that range where there's not very much chance at relegation, no real chance at Europa.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that means they either A, don't have a replacement lined up, or B, there's
Well,
just no one.
I think I saw something that their other striker is suspended.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, I'm assuming that all signs point to this move being confirmed if he doesn't get hurt.
So I don't know a ton about this guy outside of his scoring record from this season. What I do know is that Cardiff are in dire need of an actual striker if they want to stay up. Do you think, I guess, assuming he comes in and he performs decent enough and he starts scoring goals, do you think this move is enough for them to avoid the drop?
I mean, I think they could avoid the drought without this move, so yes.
It's interesting to note, looking at their team, though, obviously Callum Patterson, he has 4 goals, and then you have Josh Murphy with 3, Victor Camarasa with 3.
Patterson also hasn't scored in a very long time.
How do you think this arrival will affect Patterson positionally?
He'll play somewhere. I mean, the thing is, the dude can literally play everywhere, and Neil Warnock loves him. He'll either play his proper position of right back, he'll play some games as a 10, he'll come off the bench. Like, he's just not going to be fantasy relevant anymore.
Yeah, so we did get a question about him this week. I'm not sure if it was related to this incoming transfer or not, but what trade value would you put on
He has none.
Callum Patterson?
Unless you're playing in a league with a naive owner,
Sure.
everyone who actually pays attention knew that Patterson was a stopgap until January. Here we are in January, and he's now about to lose the extreme out of position value that he has.
Yeah, I think Cardiff would probably be best suited in still using him in a more advanced role. I mean, the issue is that,
Camarasa is better in that role.
yeah, and I don't know if he'll go back to right back. He could end up playing in right midfield, but with Cardiff's system, that's
Oh,
essentially.
no. That would not work. He's not fast enough, and he can't really pass.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, they've been playing a 4-1-4-1 lately. So, yeah, at this point, if you have any takers, I would probably unload him.
I tried. Didn't work.
There's also some noise about Cardiff potentially getting Omar Nias on loan from Everton. I don't know if they would be able to, but do you see a situation where they bring both players in?
I mean, considering Nias can play on the wing, yes. But, like, I don't really have any issues with Cardiff's wing play.
Yeah, I don't know how their financials stack up, but I'm assuming they're going to be
Not well.
paying. Yeah, I'm assuming they probably wouldn't have enough to take on 2 attacking players. But Insala, I mean, how would you kind of advise people thinking about, once he's added to the system for Fantrax,
I think
how
he
to
could be
approach him?
the I think he could be the most useful January signing in the Premier League.
So would that put him maybe around a low end, probably what, like a forward three?
I think he could be to Cardiff what Chris Wood was to Burnley last year, which is a mid-tier forward too.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. I'm not expecting him to come in and score tons of goals, just even if he is a lot better, even if he turns out to be a phenomenal player, just because of Cardiff's, inability to really have a sustainable attack. So I would say he'd probably be around the Chris Wood area.
Let's also see what their running is, because
I was trying to stall enough until I got the schedule
up. It's not bad. So we know there's no chance he plays versus Newcastle. Then they have Arsenal, Bournemouth, Southampton, Watford, Everton, Wolves, West Ham, Brighton, Chelsea. Like, that's a run of some not stingy defenses.
I mean, if he comes in and, like, we're assuming he will, and he's just the number one striker, then you're going to want to add him no matter what.
And the problem is, though, I think in most leagues, his last name is too close to one Mohamed Salah that even casuals will pick him up just because of the name.
Yeah, it's S-A-L-A, no H. Yeah, that is, I didn't think of that, but that's a good point. Moving on to the other big news of the week. It was a dark day.
So, are we calling it a sacking?
It was mutual consent. Huddersfield Town and David Wagner have parted ways.
And a very large statement by Huddersfield's chairman that they did not sack David Wagner.
So, I think
that's where this gets a little murky.
Yeah. So, it's a very weird situation, and in my opinion, because they decided they won't be naming a manager until after this weekend's match. I believe actually they play on Monday. They play on Sunday after this week's thrashing from Manchester City. I'm guessing Wagner was probably something along the lines of, we need to spend actual money in order to stay up. And the chairman probably said, we can't do that. And then he probably just like, I can't save our club again. And I don't really feel like getting embarrassed against Manchester City if it's inevitable that I won't be here.
See, I think it went sort of like that, more with Wagner saying something along the lines of, I don't want to manage this club in the championship again. And the chairman saying, okay, well, leave.
Yeah, Town wouldn't have gotten to the Premier League. First, they weren't supposed to get promoted. They weren't supposed to stay up. And both of those things wouldn't have been possible without Wagner. So their success, assuming they go down, which looks like it will happen, their success will always be forever tied with Wagner, which is interesting. From his perspective, I think it was a good move career-wise. I think he's a good manager. Obviously, the Huddersfield Town situation is odd. I think he will be back.
Oh, he will, 100%.
I don't have the slightest clue who Town are going to look at or who they would bring in, though.
Honestly, it doesn't matter. Nothing that they can bring in could save them. I'm trying to think of, is Sunderland the last club we've seen that was this fucked?
The problem is I wouldn't put those two in the same situation because Sunderland spent money.
In terms of results.
In terms of results, yeah, I think so. The thing with Sunderland was weird.
No, actually, they spent so much money. Actually, it's probably Hull. Hull was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, Town is weird because...
Well, they're weird because they just shouldn't be here. They are defying the odds with every day. The thing is they look a little less weird this year because there's Cardiff doing the exact same thing.
And, you know, it doesn't help with the absence of Aaron Moy. In Moy and Billing, I think those are two guys who are 100% Premier League quality midfielders. So they're definitely going to be gone. It'll be interesting to see where they end up. But at this point, I mean, once Moy comes back, obviously he's really the only guy in fantasy. I mean, I like Billing.
Mounier still has value.
Yeah, they just can't score.
But he puts up points regardless. Like, he has been a better version of Christian Benteke.
Speaking of Benteke, I guess we'll start with Liverpool hosting Crystal Palace. Benteke is back. He's fit. Question from Twitter. Benteke is owned in 65% of Fantrax leagues. Is he worth adding at the moment?
A healthy Benteke is always worth owning, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. It's most likely going to be something that people regret because he's probably going to disappoint, but you got to add him if you need a third striker. The bigger concern for Crystal Palace at the moment is goalkeeping. I don't know who's going to play in. I guess Speroni's going to play in goal this weekend, but Wayne Hennessy's hurt. Gyata's hurt. So they're on their third string keeper.
Yeah, Liverpool, I saw they were like linked with potentially signing someone on loan, but
they're
who
looking
knows?
At a goalkeeper, I believe, from the Brazilian
Brazil, right?
League.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it will be completed by the time this weekend comes around.
I know, but they're gunning on getting a young Alisson.
So Liverpool by what, 7 or 8?
No, because we know how this goes. Palace brings in a random keeper. Random keeper makes 12 saves. Aaron Wan-Bissaka keeps Mo Salah in his pocket.
On the other side of the ball, Trent
Alexander-Arnold. I like how you didn't even entertain my scenario.
Because Liverpool's going to win like 5-0. Speroni is 39.
They only put one pass Brighton.
It doesn't matter.
And it was a penalty. Mo Salah has not scored from open play in like 5 games.
I think they're going to score 4 this weekend.
I think they're going to score 1.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, though. I know you've been avid on him this season. How have you replaced him?
By bringing one Matt Doherty back into my OFPL team. I held him through his first injury, and then the second one came up, and that's kind of scared me off because I'm worried it'll reoccur a third time.
Yeah, stick in with OFPL. I mean, the other guy that comes to mind is Lucas Digne. Lucas Digne. How do you pronounce it? Is it Digne?
I think it's Digne. Okay.
He's the first guy that comes to mind for me.
Yeah, I already had him.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If you don't have him, you should have him.
He's selected by 15.7% of squads at the moment. He's at 5.3. So right there, you're not paying anything else to get a replacement for Trent. Is there anybody else that you would consider? Maybe lower priced?
I'm trying to think. Because, like, realistically, it was between Doherty and Perea. And I'm going to end up getting Perea in for Balbuena, like, next week or so.
Yeah, the guy that I was thinking about, potentially Luke Shaw, because he's at 5, and United have a very favorable run of matches coming up with game week 27. They have Liverpool, but the rest of their matches until then are excellent.
Yeah, that's fair. I can't argue against that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think Liverpool are going to win. We'll agree to disagree on how many goals are going to get scored.
I mean, I do think they're going to win. I just think it's going to be close.
Another match I know we'll agree on will probably be close. Southampton-Everton.
This might be the high-scoring match of the week.
Yeah, so I think this Everton should Everton should win this match.
They should, but Southampton is hot, and Danny Ings is back.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Southampton at the moment. I do like Cedric.
They're playing where they should be. Southampton has a mid-table roster that was on a team destined for relegation.
Where do you think they're going to end up by the end of the season? Where do you think they'll finish?
I need to see their current points back right now. So they're on 19 points.
Yeah, they're in 16th. Even with Cardiff. They're
easily going to pass Burnley and Crystal Palace. I think Brighton's about to hit the skids. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them finish 12th.
Yeah, I think they're going to end up kind of being right in hand with around where Everton is. So this match, it's interesting, this match, if Southampton keep playing and keep improving, this match could see them maybe at the end of the season determining who finishes where with them flip-flopping. Is there anyone on Southampton, I guess you would consider streaming for Fantrax?
I mean,
they're not going to have...
Taggart is their option that's definitely streamable. He's probably one of their only defenders that I'd be comfortable playing.
Yeah, Jan Valery's suspended. The guy I want to mention, he's back in the team now, is JWP. 27% owned. He scored against Leicester. 8.5 points against Chelsea.
So, with Pierre-Emile Højbjerg back, who comes out of the lineup then? If it's not JWP, that's the thing I've been trying to figure out, because Højbjerg plays.
Yeah. Against Leicester City, the way was it was obviously long up front because you didn't have Ings and Austin suspended. Then Armstrong and Redmond kind of played in behind. And then it was Romeu and Prowse in central midfield with the wing backs.
I mean, Armstrong falling out would make the most sense.
Yeah, just because I think they're better with JWP in the lineup just because of his service and his dead balls. I mean,
also, him with Nathan Redmond is actually frightening together.
Yeah, I mean, JWP is consistent over the longer scale. I mean, not really looking at the beginning of the season because he was in and out, but I rate him at the moment just based on form, obviously, but also on what he will provide with Redmond and Ings above Armstrong, who's cooled off. That is interesting, but I mean, if the lineups come out and you need a midfielder or you see Armstrong stop playing, I think he's definitely...
I mean, we have to remember that, like, most of Armstrong's points were across two games in which he scored 3 goals.
Too. Yeah. Then with Everton, it looks like Adamoah Lookman won't be getting a move, but he will be getting some minutes moving forward.
Yeah, so that's actually something that I'm curious about as a Lookman owner. The problem is Lookman's minutes are going to come at the expense of Richarlison playing in his best position, it seems.
Necessarily. I mean, we could see Calvert-Lewin up front, Richarlison on the left.
But they both play the left naturally.
But I'm guessing Lookman would play on the right. Richarlison would play on the left.
But Bernard's actually been, like, serviceable recently.
Yeah, it's not a knock on Bernard. It's just
Silva has to play Lookman. Yeah. He literally has to play Lookman.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that we'll... Actually, I don't really know now that I'm thinking about it. We could see Richarlison up front. We could see him on the wing. But, yeah, at the expense of Bernard. So that's definitely something to monitor.
This is exactly why I had to trade for another forward in our Fantrax League. Because prior to today, my three forwards were... Richarlison, Leroy Sané, and Lookman.
Yikes. Yeah, that's a tough spot. A tough spot to be in. Either way, I think this is going to be an entertaining match with goals in it.
Agreed.
Another game that should have goals in it, Eddie Howe's Bournemouth are hosting West Ham. So the first topic and the main thing that I want to talk about in this match, do you buy Sammy as an option?
Nope.
What do you make of him?
I hate being biased against players because of their circumstances, but due to the fact that we have not seen Nasri play consistent minutes in so long, even like I understand why people are potentially holding him, just due to the fact the midfielder is so shallow. But he's a guy that I need to show me that they still have it before actually trusting them. And one game is not enough.
It seems like, I mean, it definitely helps having his prior connection with Pellegrini. It's probably the only reason why he's at West Ham. I just don't really know how to value him at the moment.
No one does. It's okay.
Yeah, so I mean, he's owned in 65% of leagues right now. I guess I would say, yeah, Adam. I just wouldn't expect... Just temper whatever your expectations are, just temper them a little bit.
Yeah, I'd be on board with that.
Like, do not... I know he got an assist last week, but don't... you shouldn't be thinking, okay, he's going to come in and he's going to be a solid option for me on a week-to-week basis.
Because he likely will not be.
Yeah. Do you think this is I'm going to say a draw here.
I'll take West Ham winning.
It's obviously the big thing is if Wilson plays or not. I'm assuming. I think he's going to be back.
Bournemouth's slide has just been so bad that I don't think Wilson playing can save it.
Yeah, if he's back, I don't see them losing.
Actually, let's see. I've actually made my TalkSport predictions for this week. What did I have as the scoreline here? Game week 20. I put 3-1 West Ham.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go 2-1, 2-1 for Eddie Howe's guys. Guess the other match with significance. Actually, we'll do Spurs last. Huddersfield Town against Manchester City. Only talking about this because the situation with Gabriel Jesus and Aguero. Who do you think starts?
There's been no rhyme or reason to who starts. So, due to it being away, I'm going to say Jesus.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Luckily, I don't own either of them, so I haven't had to deal with it. But if you're talking to an owner of Sergio Aguero or Jesus right now, would you suggest that you just go out and get the other guy and just suck it up and pay the price? Or do you think...
This is one situation where in draft leagues, you need the handcuff.
It's a situation I didn't think was going to be... Well, this is kind of what you and I talked about in the beginning of the season, and it hadn't really come to fruition early on. But at this point, you need his handcuff. It's too risky to go without it, especially with Jesus looking a lot better of late. That's all I want to talk about with that match, though.
Yeah, because City's going to roll. Yeah. Huddersfield is going to fall down, and the little terror is going to run away. And that's about it.
So the moment we've all been waiting for, how are Spurs going to deal without Harry Kane and without Son, and also with I mean, it doesn't really matter for playing, but with Dembele going to China.
Luckily, we're playing Fulham.
Yeah. Run isn't that bad.
That's the only positive. The problem is, looking at everything right now, it's who is healthy for Spurs? Lucas Moura is carrying a knock. Sissoko's out with a hamstring injury. Eric Dier is still out with his appendix. Victor Wanyama is still out with whatever the hell he's dealing with. So that means we're going to have likely a midfield pivot of Oliver Skip and Harry Winks, which is wonderful for England, not wonderful for Spurs.
So in terms of how they set up, are you expecting Llorente to start with either by himself or up front with Dele? Or do you think Pochettino might just totally surprise us and do something completely different?
Depends on Lamella's fitness. If Lamella is fit, I would not be surprised with an Eric Lamella false nine. Honestly, if I can, I'd be going out and buying Eric Lamella in draft leagues.
Yeah, I think Lamella probably... Yeah, I do think Lamella is probably the safest guy to go after. What about Llorente? I mean, or is it just the curse of the backup Spurs strikers again? We actually did get a question saying, is he an option in draft?
I mean, he's someone that you have to pick up in a draft league for cover. I don't rate Llorente as still being a Premier League quality striker, but if you're getting minutes as the starting striker for a top six club, you're a must pickup. But remember, he is 33 and as mobile as Colin Patterson.
I think the other aspect of this is definitely up for Dele, just because I'm guessing he's going to be playing in a more advanced role, kind of like he did when they lost to Manchester United this past weekend.
Also, I'd say it's an up for Eriksen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And depending upon how they line up, I mean, we could see Kieran Trippier getting more involved in the attack. Not that he isn't already.
Is it possible for him to get more involved?
There is a situation when they're setting up where, I mean, Trippier is probably the second.
He's not going to play as a winger. He is not going to play as a winger.
You don't think so?
The only person who would potentially play as a winger, actually, unfortunately, we need to talk about this, potentially was arrested last weekend ahead of Manchester United, and that's why he didn't make the squad. That's
right. I didn't,
Serge
I didn't
Aurier.
Know, I was going to let you bring
Fuck
that
him.
Up.
Fuck Serge Aurier.
So I would not be worried about Spurs this weekend, even though they don't have Kane. In OFPL, have you transferred out Kane yet?
Luckily.
Oh, you hadn't gotten him in?
I had not made my transfers yet. Because I was preparing my team for the past 2 weeks to fit Harry Kane in for Lacazette. So I am now stuck with Lacazette. Which is fine, because he's honestly been one of the most consistent strikers. But I ended up upgrading Son to Leroy Sané, getting Doherty for Trent Alexander-Arnold, and then taking a -4 to bring in Raul Jimenez for Callum Wilson.
Yeah, at the moment, I haven't made my transfers yet, or transfer. I haven't decided if I'm going to take a -4. I have Kane. I already have Rashford and I have Ings. So I'm looking at either Firmino.
Firmino real hard.
Yeah, the way I had it narrowed down to was I either take a -4 with transferring out Cedric and Kane for Trippier and Firmino. The other -4 that I was looking at that is looking a little bit more appealing is getting Snodgrass and Kane out for Bernardo Silva and Firmino.
I mean, I'm always a large proponent of the minus four.
Yeah, so I'm kind of on the fence there. But if, just I guess to put it in brief, if you were putting together a list of three strikers to bring in to replace Kane in OFPL, what would your list look like?
Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, I had Rashford, Firmino, and then Rashford again. You got to get Rashford. If you don't own him, everything.
I don't own him yet, but I will own him shortly.
Yeah. It's the run, the price, form. It's kind of the perfect storm for fantasy. I guess we'll wrap this week's episode up by me once again. First, before we get to the final question, I just wanted to bring up again that Manchester United defeated Spurs this past weekend. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe there is a podcast where someone said if Marcus Rashford started, they would win. To compound to Chuck's misery, we will finish up with this question on Twitter. Do you see anyone not in the current top four displacing Spurs?
Why does it have to be Spurs? It's fucking Chelsea that's going to fall out.
I didn't write the question, dude.
I didn't say you did. I'm just saying, why does it have to be Spurs?
I should have.
Harry Kane misses a month every year. Every single year. And it's usually with this goddamn ankle, which is probably going to become a chronic problem, but I don't want to think about that right now.
Yeah, I mean, my answer is United.
We both know who the team is that's coming for the top four. I just don't think that United is going to displace Spurs. They're going to displace Chelsea.
I'm fine with displacing either. I don't really have a preference.
I know you don't care. I think we both believe that United end the season as a top four team.
Yeah, it's looking increasingly likely for... I mean, the stars are aligned for it to happen. So I am expecting it to happen.
Arsenal's basically said that they're not going to be a challenge, so...
Yeah. Okay,
We actually have one question that came in during recording.
Oh, okay.
That should actually line up pretty well with your new job. Guesstimate points per match for Higuain, Babel, and Harvey Barnes.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm glad that Harvey Barnes got brought up because he's real good. I love how Leicester recalled him. I'm expecting a ton of minutes. I mean, I kind of would put Barnes in the same situation, but not as many points as David Brooks, where you have, you know, a young, exciting winger that's able to get forward. I think Barnes will have some good matches. I just don't think his highs will be as high as Brooks's have been. I'm not sure. Let me check what Brooks has been doing at the moment. Also, he's someone to look at in OFPL because he's around five right now.
Oh, I love David Brooks.
I mean, David Brooks is averaging, he's averaging like 8 points per match.
I think Barnes does a little bit better on peripheral stats than Brooks, though.
I would say Barnes is probably, I would put him at a higher floor. I would say maybe he's like a midfielder four.
I wouldn't expect
as many goals.
You're not answering the question. It's a hard points per match.
Okay, I would put Barnes probably at like 7 points per match. The thing with Brooks is that because he has these games where, you know, he had his 2-goal game, and then he's had a couple ones where he's had, you know, he had three shots each.
Isn't Brooks also playing further forward?
Yeah, I would expect Barnes to be getting, one or two successful take-ons, maybe one shot and kind of doing some other stuff, definitely with key passes. So I put him at like seven. I wouldn't expect to be having 2 goal games out of him. In Babel, I don't know, because he's going to come off the bench.
So
I guess if he's starting, maybe around where. No.
what's funny is I'll tell you the Babel one, because I feel like he's gonna end up being one of those weird 11.5 guys that starts 2 games all for the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be inflated because what'll happen is I'm guessing maybe he does get starts and he's just rotated so they keep Sherla fresh. So all he needs to do, if he has, like, let's say out of the last games of the season, maybe he starts once every 5 matches. All he needs to do is have one really good game where he gets a
Exactly.
goal and then it'll inflate it.
He gets. Do they have Huddersfield again?
I don't know. That's actually a good thing. Well, I'll give my
Yeah,
take
I'll
on.
search while you're.
Yeah, I'll take my guess on Gonzalo. I personally am not a fan of this move, but I will take the bias kind of out of it. I mean, he's gonna be probably like 10 points per match.
I mean, it's almost impossible to be the starting striker and
Yeah.
not have at least 8 points per match. Because what's Morata at right now?
I don't even. You gotta.
I'm bringing him up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my thing with Higuain is
So,
that.
Morata is at 5.78.
I was gonna say, you gotta scroll.
But before, like his last six, in which he's gotten straight up single digits, Morata was still at like 8.5.
So I think what you probably can expect is definitely him to be a top 20 forward no matter what, but I would probably put him in the region of where Firmino is. So that's like 10.5 points, 10.7.
Don't you disrespect Firmino like that. But Firmino's also going to rise more to like 12
Yeah.
or 14.
At the moment, I don't think he'll finish where Firmino is. Just looking at it, it's like, okay, he'll probably be in the area of, because it's kind of hard when you're looking at it just because we have so many wingers in the forward pool. I mean, he'll probably be, somewhere between 5 to 8 in terms of points per match.
Actually, I think the Troy Deeney comp is probably pretty good. Deeney's at 10.53.
Yeah, I think he'll be slightly higher just because he's playing, just because he has Hazard feeding him for shots. But either way, I do think he's going to, at worst, he'll be averaging 10 points per match.
Which makes him useful because there are 21 forwards averaging more 10 points per match or more.
Yeah, and I mean, one of those guys is Dwight McNeil from Burnley, just because he hasn't played that because he hasn't played that many games. So yeah, but it is an interesting thing to think about. I'd like to revisit those and see how they pan out
Yeah, I
come the
will
end of the
de
season.
yeah, we will definitely need to write these down. Holy shit, yeah, Dwight McNeil, wow. Yeah, 2018-12. Oof.
Any parting words? Oh, we should probably, well, before you tell everyone where they can find us, I do want to say and go on the record now saying Manchester United will finish third.
Tottenham are keeping their third place. Like, this team has faced adversity before. Remember that last year, Tottenham basically shat the bed in their first 11 games. And this is the exact same team, considering that they made no signings and will likely still make no signings.
I just needed to go on the record somewhere.
I think they're going to finish fourth. It'll definitely come down to the wire, but Chelsea is going to slip out and United will slip in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Spurs being in the top four and Chelsea dropping out. I just don't.
No, you're not, because you want to make fun of me if Spurs drop out.
I think I've been pretty respectable about how I said that we were going to beat you guys this past weekend, and then we did.
Yeah, that's just because I haven't entertained it.
Chuck, tell everyone where they can find us on Twitter.
You can find us on Twitter at FPL_360. You can also find this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Play Music, and Stitcher.